There's been a lot of hand-wringing in Republican ranks. Could they have acted sooner to stop the likely frontrunner and nominee Donald Trump? But Politico magazine asks another question. What role did the media play? The headline on their May-June magazine under a huge picture of Trump facing a media scrum is, "What have we done?" Now, we've got NPR's David Folkenflik waiting in the wings with his thoughts. But first, joining us from the NPR studios in Washington, Politico magazine senior writer Michael Cruz. And Michael, this edition, you looked at Trump from all different angles. A reporter he excoriated on Twitter writes an article. You speak with a New York tabloid writer. But there's also Jack Schaefer's centerpiece piece asking, "Did we create Trump?" What does he conclude?
I think Jack concludes a lot of things, but that we alone did not create Trump. I mean, Trump has created Trump. Has the media had a role in that? Of course. You know, this is an important conversation because this is Donald Trump's most important relationship. It is his longest running relationship, Trump and the media. But to have this conversation, the material doesn't really start in June of last year when he announced he was running for the president. You got to go way, way back 40 years. I mean, from the launch of New York Post's Page Six gossip report in 1977 to the rise of cable television in the 80s to the rise of tabloid TV and the internet in the 90s. I mean, Trump has always used the media to stoke his celebrity. You know, how does one do that but for the media? But Trump has done it more consciously and, frankly, more effectively than I would say almost any other American over the last four decades.
Well, Jack says that the media didn't create the Trump phenomenon. Trump created the media that created Trump the candidate. And as you said, over 40 years and over things like, well, 14 years as hosting a television show in addition to playing himself in films. He came into this election with just about 100% name recognition. I mean, how unusual is that?
It's hugely unusual, and especially for a politician, right? Or for a non-politician, as the case may be. I mean, Trump is not a self-made man, which is what he likes to be seen as. I mean, he's rich because his father was rich, period. But what he is very much a self-made character. I mean, he has worked at this. And I don't think there is some grand strategy that is now coming all together after 40 years. The strategy has always been one of his core beliefs. I mean, on the short list of Donald Trump's core beliefs, near the top is attention is good. There's no such thing as bad publicity. And as long as people are looking at you, talking about you, it is a good thing for your personal brand.
Well, and so far he's been right. I mean, your magazine points out, or the Politico magazine points out, the amount of coverage he's received. The New York Times reported $1.9 billion worth of free media attention, and this is by last March. That's twice what Hillary Clinton received in the media, six times as much as Ted Cruz. And then Jack writes about something called the rule of anticipated importance. The media tend to cover candidates who are expected to matter. And he, early on, you know, was leading in the pack. So that combined with his name recognition lent to more expectation and therefore more coverage.
Also, because he's not only is he interesting, he's important, as in consequential, and consequential in a way that he had never, ever been. So I reject the idea that somehow we, the media, should have covered him less. I mean, why? Why would that have helped? I mean, and also it should be pointed out that like no small amount of all of this coverage to this point has been the opposite of flattering. I mean, it's shown him to be a crude, sexist bore, a businessman whose businesses have filed for bankruptcy four times, a person whose public pronouncements are so contradictory as to make him utterly untrustworthy, and yet more than enough Republican voters in Republican primaries have made him their pick to be their nominee. So, I mean, whose fault is that?
Well, some might say it started with the tabloids 35 years ago, but we spoke with the New York Daily News, rather, columnist Linda Stassi. Now, you have a great piece in the Politico magazine, page after page of the covers over the years of Donald Trump, many of him as a clown, you know. But we asked if she felt complicit in creating Trump. Here's what she said.
We did not create him. We put him on steroids. We didn't create him, though. He created himself. Nobody can create Donald.
And Michael Cruz of Politico, I want you to stay right there for a second because we want to bring in NPR's David Folkenflik. His article on the NPR website is How the Media Failed in Covering Donald Trump. And David, that's not the same as the question that Politico posed, which is, did the media create Donald Trump? What do you mean in that distinction?
Well, I think it sets too low a bar. I think that Trump, as Jack Schaefer and others are arguing, as you put forth, you know, Trump's a self-creation. He's a guy who's very smart and instinctual about how to press the levers. You know, it's almost as though he's an expert organist at St. Patrick's Cathedral, right? And he can press the levels perfectly to play the media to dance to a tune and make it a spectacle. And even when the spectacle results in certain negative kinds of headlines about him, it nonetheless means that people are paying attention to what he's saying and doing or not saying and not doing rather than other issues that may prove more important, more enduring in terms of how the nation fares in the times ahead. The media failed in a number of aspects. I think there are three key and critical elements, one of which is it missed his rise. Even though he was ahead in the polls since early to midsummer, literally ahead in the polls with the exception of perhaps a two-day period to Ben Carson in November, people didn't altogether take him seriously.
Treated it like a joke, yeah.
The political classes, it was seen as a good fun, good sport to cover. And yet, you know, as there were some early signs, Evan Osnos's piece in The New Yorker about how he was tapping into certain white resentment and other signs as well that this was – there were stirrings of something here that needed to be taken seriously. The second element is just the way in which the – particularly the broadcast and digital news outlets just turned over vast swaths of real estate to him, often unfiltered, just desperate for the ratings and the clicks. And the profits are there. The numbers are pretty irrefutable. Media companies could not help but be influenced by what they saw was the audience appetite because like with a live sporting event, you did not know what would happen. You didn't know what Trump would say or do next. You didn't know if something would occur. You know, there might be some sort of melee or fist fight at a Trump rally. Well, this heightens the drama even if it's lamentable.
Well, and
the
David,
the third thing that's very important is it didn't treat his business record the way in which they would have the press should have treated and does typically treat a politician's public record and political record. They didn't delve deep into all those bankruptcies, all those lawsuits, all those questions until really late into the primary season. And I think primary voters deserve to know about that and then make their own decisions. Was Trump a creation of the media? No. But the media is to blame for its performance even if it doesn't mean that we're at fault for somehow creating this guy.
Well, David, and as you just heard Michael say, but you know, are we not going to cover somebody who's become such a national figure? But this brings us to something we heard over the weekend on the media host Bob Garfield, who was a guest on Chris Hayes' MSNBC show. And here he is reacting to both what you mentioned, David, the nonstop coverage and then the lack of serious coverage. First, the nonstop coverage. Let's listen. Bob looked like his head was going to explode. Let's listen.
It aids and abets his goal to be elevated, and this is a man whom we dare not elevate. I mean, I hate the idea that
the
press is running
the
press. It is time for the press to make a decision. This is a historic moment. The democracy is at stake.
And David Folkenflik, he went on and said, we have got to, the press has got to sit up and start seriously reporting on this man's flaws. Do you agree? If the press suddenly starts attacking Donald Trump to make up maybe for a lack of scrutiny before, doesn't that give the appearance of the press trying to overturn the will of the people?
Well, certainly the will of the preponderance of the Republican primary electorate. I don't know how effective that would be even if that's what you wanted to do. And, you know, I think Bob has raised some important points along the point of this campaign. Certainly you've heard some distinguished voices, including NBC's Tom Brokaw, the retired anchor, a very careful and tough denunciation in a commentary done on the NBC Nightly News. Cokie Roberts in her syndicated column with her husband, Steve Roberts, basically made a similar case more recently. She's a commentator now for NPR rather than a straight-ahead reporter and analyst and gets to do that. But I don't think that's the effective way. I think what reporters need to do, you know, we need to do the hard work of journalism. And, you know, people, if they oppose Donald Trump, they can criticize him. But what I think reporters need to do is really put meat on the bone and say it's not just that he said says things that are problematic or that cut against what we think of civil discourse as needing to be or as politicians as needing to embrace in terms of their values, this is the man's record. This is what he stands for in his business. This is what it actually is. Mm-hmm. Here's what his fortunes are. Here's what they aren't. You know, it may well be that what he actually possesses in his holdings is far less than what he has claimed time and again. We deserve to understand all of these things. And then voters get to make a choice. Mm-hmm. And I do think there are so many different kinds of journalistic outlets and so many kinds of different voices that there can be a multitude of approaches in dealing with him. But I think journalistically, you have to see the reporting rather than certain kinds of hysterical denunciations.
We're going to wrap it up there. NPR's media critic David Folkenflik will link you to his article at herenow.org. And Politico Magazine's Michael Cruz, thanks so much for you weighing in as well. We recommend the Politico May-June issue. Thank you, Michael.
Thank you.